I am so glad that you are choosing to spend part of your holidays here with us at the Fort. Thank you for making time for what I believe is a very special tradition and service. Matthew starts his story about the coming of Jesus by telling us about wise men. Luke starts by telling us about shepherds. But John has the most unique way to begin the story of Jesus. John chapter 1, the first five verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, if you know me, you know that I like everything about Christmas. I mean, everything. I like the music. And just for the record, the three greatest Christmas albums of all time were done by Elvis, Mariah Carey, and Alvin and the Chipmunks. I love the food of Christmas. I love the movies of Christmas. And think about it. Is there any other time of year where we make more movies to celebrate than the Christmas season? But the thing that I love most about the Christmas season has always been the lights. When I was growing up, I remember a few times getting in the car with my mom and just driving around to look at the Christmas lights around town. And I also remember seeing some amazing displays of Christmas lights at Disney World as a kid because we grew up close to there. And then we moved here over 20 years ago, and everyone began to tell me about jolly holiday lights and that it was so wonderful. So we were very excited, and I'm thinking, Disney World, this has got to be amazing. And we went and we drove through, and there would be a display, and about a half mile later, there would be another display, and about a half mile later, there would be another display. It wasn't quite Disney World. Isn't it funny that it is the only time of year where we take the trees that are outside and bring them inside, and we take the lights that are inside and we put them outside? And actually, that's pretty appropriate, because do you realize that this happens to be the darkest week of the year? There is less sunlight this week than any other week of the year. And the darkest is not just in the sky. You see, Christmas recognizes something. It recognizes that we live in a world in the dark. The word darkness appears over 200 times in the Bible, and not usually does it refer to physical darkness. It usually is a metaphor to refer to a world full of evil and brokenness and suffering. It is a metaphor for what life is like when it gets out of line with God's will and what God wants. And have you ever noticed that the world just seems, and life just seems, to drift in the direction of darkness, toward chaos, toward muddle and mess? There is a supermarket chain in England that this year hired people to be Christmas light untanglers. Have you ever figured that out? You take your lights down, you fold them up nicely and neatly, you put them away, and then they seem to get out of their enclosures and mate, and they can never be taken apart. And that's what happens in life. It just seems to drift toward the complicated and the painful. You see, God never had to say the words, "Let there be dark." In fact, Jesus was born in dark times. The first Christmas was very dark. You have this young and very poor teenage couple dealing with all of the rumors of a scandalous pregnancy. They get word that some ruler over 1,000 miles away is going to tax them, and they have to leave as she is about to give birth and go a long way to a town where they know no one and they have nowhere to stay. And that's where the baby is born. And not long after that, they find out that some nut job of a king wants to kill their baby. So they have to pack up and flee as refugees to another country seeking asylum. That's how the story starts. Because darkness is no respecter of persons. We all have to deal with it. We don't have to get used to it. Look at this picture. I came across this image of Rose Crawford, and here you see the nurse teaching Rose colors because she had a surgery. At the age of 4, she contracted measles and lost her sight, and she lived as a blind woman for 50 years before this surgery was able to give her her sight back. The only sad part of the story is that the surgery was available 20 years earlier, but she didn't know that. And she lived a big part of her life accepting that darkness was just always going to be part of her story. But I believe there is something deep inside all of us that longs to see light. It longs for a breakthrough. It longs for something to overcome the darkness. And we're so excited when we get a glimpse of that. The prophets talk about this yearning. Isaiah 9:2, the people walked in darkness and they've seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. What's he talking about? Go down a few verses later. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, Christmas is God's answer to the darkness, because Christmas reveals a God who is at work in the dark. I believe as people of faith, that we should be able to see, even when we are in a dark season, things around us to be thankful for. And that is one reason why I say to myself when I'm going through a tough time, it could be worse. Because I really do believe that. In fact, I would like all of you to say that. Say that with me. It could be worse. And it could be. And it is good to remember that. Let me illustrate. When we are dismissed, you are going to go and find your car. And it's very possible that you will walk past cars that are newer or nicer. But you don't need to be envious because you have a car. There are hundreds of millions of people in the world that will never have a car. People who cannot fathom that they can take their children to a hospital in 10 minutes. If they get sick, you have a car. So instead of being envious of another car, you're going to look at your car and you're going to say, it could be worse. Very good. And then you're going to go home. And it's very possible that you are going to drive past many homes that are newer, they are nicer, they are bigger, but you have a home. You have a place to sleep tonight. So you're going to look at your home and you're going to say, it could be worse. And you're right. There are hundreds of millions that are sleeping tonight and they're cold. People who cannot fathom that you can just turn a knob and clean water will start to flow. In fact, you could turn another knob and that water will get hot. And then you're going to look at your mate And yes, he's lost some hair and she's put on a few pounds, but they have stuck with you. They have loved you all these years. So when you wake up in the morning, you are going to roll over and you're going to look at them and you're going to say, no, you're not going to say that. Are you crazy? You're just going to think it. I do believe, as people of faith, that we have reasons to be thankful, even in the dark. But we don't just stop at it could be worse. You see, Christmas has taught us it will be better. Because we know that God, even when we can't see Him, is at work in the dark. In fact, God does some of His best work in the dark. The very first words recorded are, "Let there be light." God began the creation of the universe in the dark. He called Abraham out of a tent in the dark. And He told him to look up at the sky and try to count the stars. And in that dark, He promised a son from whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And it was in the dark that the angel passed over the homes of the Israelites whose posts were covered in blood. It was in the dark that the Exodus began. It was in the dark of night that the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. It was in the dark each night that manna would fall and God's people would have food for the next day to eat. But even more amazing, holy God, in the person of Jesus, became an embryo and planted Himself in the dark womb of a virgin. And in the dark, shepherds were invited to come worship this new king. And in the dark, wise men were guided to meet the Savior of the world. And they would take Jesus and they would put Him on a cross. And in the middle of the day, the sky got black. And in that darkness, He uttered the words, "It is finished. And your sins were paid for." And they put Him in a tomb. And it was very black. And on the third day, in the dark, His lungs began to fill with air. And He sat up and He rose from the dead. He conquered the grave. Victory was guaranteed. God can do some good stuff in the dark. From creation to incarnation to crucifixion to resurrection, God knows exactly what to do in the dark. And I'm saying to you, that God is at work in your life right now in ways that you cannot always see. I came across this story this past year. The picture you see at the bottom is a woman named Brenda Schmitz. She died in 2011 of ovarian cancer. The picture above is her husband David and their children, and David's new wife, Jane. David and Jane were planning on getting married. It was during the Christmas season, and they got a call from one of those radio stations that grants wishes to people. They were confused because they hadn't sent in any letter making any kind of a wish. So when they got to the station, they heard a letter that Brenda had written a month before she died. And she gave it to a good friend and said, "When David finds another wife, please send this letter into this station." And in that letter, Brenda blessed Jane to be David's wife and the mother of her children. And she blessed David to marry again. And she blessed all of her children to love their new mother. And she made three wishes: that they would give Jane a weekend at a spa to prepare for the wedding, and that they would give the family a vacation so that they would bond together, and that they would give all the doctors and nurses on the 8th floor of the hospital that took care of Brenda a night on the town. Love was at work when no one even knew. Because love can work in the dark. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus doesn't mean if we follow him, all the darkness will go away. When we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we are not denying that darkness is not all around us. We are declaring that darkness doesn't have the last word. It will get better. You see, because Christmas declares that God will not leave us in the dark. Life is hard. And darkness happens to everybody. Sorrow and trouble and pain never take a holiday. But the birth of Jesus makes it possible for us to interpret everything we are going through in a new light. It will get better. John says, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And so, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God does have an enemy. The Bible calls him the Prince of Darkness. And he is selling a narrative that he wants you to buy. That narrative is that despair is greater than hope. That hate is greater than love. That doubt is greater than faith. So why care? But we have a better story. Because we have seen the glory of God in the person of Jesus. We have seen grace personified. We have seen truth in the flesh. And we know that grace wins. We know that truth wins. We know that Jesus wins because it has been over 2,000 years now of them trying to put out the light. And it is still shining. And the darkness has not overcome it. And so another story I came across. The picture you are seeing is Brody Allen. Brody was a little boy that got sick last year in May of 2018. And his parents took him to the doctor because they thought it was an ear infection. And then they went to the children's hospital when he just did not get any better. And they found out that Brody had inoperable and incurable brain cancer. And Brody only had a few months to live. And I cannot imagine the pain a parent would feel with that kind of news. Brody loved Christmas. And his parents were so grieved that he would not live to see Christmas. But then they got to thinking, why do we have to wait until December to celebrate Christmas? And when their friends found out what they were talking about, they showed up at their house one day. They took a few hours and they completely decorated their house in September for Christmas. Well, that caused their neighbors to wonder why they had Christmas lights up in September. And when they found out, they started to decorate their houses. And pretty soon, the entire street that Brody lived on looked like Christmas. And then more people found out, and they started decorating their houses too. And then the town decided to throw a Christmas parade in September so that little Brody could watch it and enjoy it. And then Brody passed away in October of last year. But he got to spend the last month of his life being pulled by his family up and down his street in a little wagon, looking at all the Christmas lights. But my favorite picture is this one. Brody's neighbor was a Hispanic woman who spoke no English. And when she found out how much Brody loved Christmas, she took down all of her fall decorations and she put up the lights of Christmas. Because light is a universal language. It transcends culture and ethnicity. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. You want to believe that the light will conquer the darkness. Every year during this service, we light candles. And yes, it is a tradition, but it is so much more than that. You might call it a ritual, but it is way more than a ritual. Our lighting of candles is a declaration of faith. When I light the candle, I am saying that I really do believe that God came to us in the person of Jesus, born of a virgin in a town called Bethlehem. I'm saying that I believe that God loves us and is at work for us, for our good, even when it is dark. When I light the candle, I am saying that I believe the light is returning, and that every knee will bow before the King of Kings. So after you take communion this evening, there are candles under your chair, and people will come along the ends of each row, and they will light the continues, and you can continue to light each other's candles until we all have our candles lit. And then we can preach a sermon in the light together. Would you stand up, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to serve communion to you.